you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. We've got new cameras, but we're not using them right now. Oh my God. Lewis plugged his in. I plugged mine in. There was an issue. Technical issue with my camera right now. It's lighting, it's darking. Anyway, come Monday, we're going to be singing all dancing with 4K, 1080p, all that good stuff. But this is the last show at 720p. So for nostalgia reasons, enjoy. But Lewis, how are you, my brother?
Yeah, you guys are here during the beginning. This is the punk rock stages of the show. You guys have been with us for a long time. We're about to hit the big time, baby boy. About to hit 100,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. About to have new high-def cameras. Wow, what a life. I'm feeling great, Bisping. I'm very energetic right now.
Well, that's good.
Because
why are you so energetic?
I officially, as of Sunday night... We're recording this on Thursday. I had my last drink and weed smoke on Sunday, and I'm now officially sober.
It's me that makes those claims. Time and time again, I say, I don't drink anymore. I don't eat pork, which I don't, you know. But I wanted to save this conversation for the new year, Lewis. New year, new me, January. Everybody goes through that. You're jumping the gun by like 3 weeks, brother.
That's the most basic bitch shit ever. People that got to go start a diet on the new year, or they got to wait till Monday. That's a mental thing. That's actually telling you that somebody that doesn't want to actually make changes, and then they put it off. Or, once you make that decision, you say, you know what, dude, right fucking now, that's that. I can't do this anymore. And you know,
correct. I agree. But also, devil's avocado, you could say that with the festive season around the corner, you're going to drink, you're going to be merry, you're going to indulge, you're going to eat a lot of calories, okay? That season is upon you. Yeah. You're going to torture yourself like that? You're going to choose this stage of the year in the shittest of all years to say, I am starting now, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to indulge, okay? I'm just saying, if you just waited a few weeks, you would have the support of the universe with you because everyone's on the same cup of tea, shall we say.
I mean, I told you on the last show about my the happenings and how I might have AIDS. I've sort of hit rock bottom. Okay. So hold on.
Stop. I thought that was a throwaway comment. Are you saying you might have AIDS?
No, I've had a couple of questionable nights recently where I've just let myself get a little bit crazier than I should with everything, with alcohol, drugs, women, whatever.
Sounds like you had a great time.
Look, the past 38 years have been a fucking dream, okay? But I don't know, whatever it was, dude, I haven't been losing weight. I'm always in a cloud. Like, I smoke dabs.
You look like you've lost weight though, Lewis. I'll be honest, we had that Zoom call earlier on, and when you joined the Zoom call, I thought, wow, look at this guy. Svelte, skinny, cheekbones, you know? Jesus Christ, Lewis, you're losing weight.
In 4 days, you want to know how much weight I've lost?
Go ahead.
In 4 days. Guess the amount of weight that I've lost in 4 days. I weighed myself.
Oh my God, we're playing this game. Let's indulge, yes. Lewis. Okay, all right. I'm going to say 9 pounds.
14 pounds.
All right. Temporary water weight loss. That's great. Drink some water. It'll go back on. I've not lost 9 pounds, 14 pounds of fat in 9 days.
I'm saying I weighed in at 235 on Sunday and I weighed in at 221 today.
Well, either way, that's good. Regardless, yeah. Water, real fat. It still feels good to step on the scale and see that it's light. So well done.
The lack of calories. I was drinking whiskey like every night. And it doesn't feel like a problem. It's like, dude, I'll tell you right now, Bisping, it doesn't seem like there's a problem, except I'm drinking a half a bottle of whiskey every night. I'm like, I don't even feel like I'm getting drunk. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Drinking half a bottle of whiskey, and then it's everything else that comes with it. And then it's possibly the bad decisions that come with it. And then in the morning, you feel like shit. And then it's just, it's a catalogue of events. It's a series of unfortunate events, which was an unfortunate movie that Sir Sean Connery did back in the day. Incidentally, first movie I ever bought on DVD, wanted my money back. But still, you go out there, you get drunk the next day, you think, fuck it. You know what I mean? I forget the diet or, you know what I mean? If I, like, for example, if I don't work out in the morning, that day's a write-off. I just think, fuck it. Well, today I'll treat myself. I'll have a sandwich. I'll have a burger. I'll have a beer. I'll do whatever. But if I work out first thing in the morning, I don't want to jeopardize that good work I've done. And I tend to stay disciplined throughout the day.
Yeah, it's so funny because some people have the opposite mentality. They go, oh, I got to work out. Now I can go eat, I can go cheat a little bit and you know, eat some extra calories. But I'm a very similar way. It all comes hand in hand. When I want to be healthy, it's like extreme across the board. So it's the diet, the exercise, the, you know, the whatever it is.
So when we started this podcast though, you didn't drink then. You weren't actually drinking then. So how long did you keep or abstain from alcohol?
That's funny. I didn't know that I was not drinking then.
No, I hated you. I hated you because every time I mentioned a drink, you were very quick to announce, you know, on your lofty perch up there whilst looking down your nose, like, Michael, I don't drink. I don't indulge. And I thought, wow, I really respect this about Lewis. Had I known, it was just a mere facade. It was a fake front that you were presenting to me.
That's so funny. Like, it's all coming back to when we started this show now. I started drinking again at Skankfest 2017, apparently. Thank you very much, Harrington, for chiming in there. I took a year off then, or like 15 months off then, but I was still smoking weed all the time. Like the time, all day, every day.
And you're not smoking weed now?
I haven't smoked weed since Sunday either.
Well, that's good. So what are you taking?
I've never been truly sober. I'm drinking black coffee right now.
Why black coffee?
Because I ran out of milk.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, what kind of choice are you making here? No. I'm having no dairy products. Lewis has gone full vegan. He's a pain in the ass. He doesn't swear anymore. I'm like, I don't like you anymore. Yeah. I don't like this person. I want you to be a fuck up. I want you to be fun. I want you to have cream in your coffee, Lewis. Look, Harrington, stick a bit of cream in Lewis's coffee because you know you're ready to go.
Harrington, get your fucking cream away from my coffee right now.
Oh, dear. We got a great show planned as usual. UFC 256 pay-per-view this weekend. We're going to get into all of that. We've got Chael Sonnen joining us as well, just to join in the chat and see what he's up to as well. So awesome. Looking forward to that. But what do you want to discuss, Lewis? Where should we go?
I don't know. You choose. You sent a couple interesting articles.
Yeah,
today.
Well, I was just, you know, this is what we do. We sit there and, you know, if something pops up, I see something on the news or on Twitter, I think, oh, maybe that's an interesting topic to discuss. And I'll be honest. I mean, there was one that came out today. Google have given a list of the most Googled phrases.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we could have a fun discussion there because people Googled the most weird, nonsensical bullshit. They really do.
Can we guess? Oh, you've already seen the list, haven't you?
I've seen the list.
You son of a bitch.
I've seen the list. Yeah, I saw the British list and the American list. Let me find it. In fact, Brian, can you bring it up or do you want to guess?
Let me guess a few. I bet you I can guess a few of the top ones.
All right. So in America, what do you think the most Googled thing was this year?
Fuck. It's either going to be coronavirus or COVID-19. I'm trying to think of, I feel like coronavirus, it was newer then. They were calling it coronavirus before they were calling it COVID-19. And it was like, it was crazy pandemic times when it first came out. I think coronavirus is the number one most Googled term in America. Not COVID-19, coronavirus.
But I hate to say it, once again, you're wrong.
Damn it.
Although I like your logic because one would assume that coronavirus, it is dominating everything. No, but you were almost right. That came in at number two. Number one, the election results.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Which is weird because that happened at the end of the year, but still, it's in America, it's a big deal.
A lot of people care.
Was the coronavirus.
Three?
Three.
Black Lives Matter.
No, but a black person. Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant came in at three. Four was coronavirus update. Five, coronavirus symptoms.
Oh, God.
Six, guess what six was? Everyone's doing it.
Cocaine.
No, that was number seven. Number six, everybody, when this pandemic hit, everybody started doing it. You were sick of hearing about it.
Okay. No. When the pandemic hit, they were... What were social doing? Distancing.
No.
I hate that term, by the way.
We're doing it right now.
Eye fucking.
Oh, you sexy boy. Zoom. Yeah. Every man and the dog's on fucking
that
Zoom.
That fucking company. Imagine you invested in Zoom a year ago. I mean, it's just crazy. Zoom has become similar how Google is the term where you say, oh, I'm going to Google something. Yep. People use Zoom just for getting on a video conference now.
Oh, no, absolutely. Zoom this, Zoom that. I mean, I'm going to Vegas at the weekend. I'm doing a year-end wrap-up show like I did last year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Rebecca's coming with me, making a little weekend out of it. Oh. Before we got to go, we both had to do tests. UFC sent the test. We want to do a Zoom, and we'll walk you through it over Zoom. I'm like, everybody has FaceTime, but no, it's Zoom. It's not even called FaceTime anymore. Everyone just wants to Zoom. And as you say, if you had stock in that company, good for you, because
so they sent you the coronavirus test to do at home.
Like, yes.
Wow. I didn't even know that they had availability like that.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's ever moving. It's ever moving, ever evolving, baby boy. And then just round out this list. 7 who was winning the election. 8, I don't know who this is. Naya Rivera.
Oh, that was the chick who drowned. Oh, that's such a sad fucking story. Oh my God. Dude, anytime like it was, you remember she rented a little boat like in Mexico or somewhere like
off the coast of Florida. No, I do recall it now.
And they found the kid sleeping in the boat.
Well, listen, that's very depressing. So let's get off that one and go to number 9, Chadwick Boseman. He died as well. God, so. We're not laughing at Chadwick Boseman's death. We're trying to get positive here. Number 10, PlayStation 5.
Okay, there we go. That's fine.
But let me look at the UK list. Just give me a bit of filler time. You just say something for a second.
Not a problem. Go pull up that UK list. I am still trying to find a PS5, by the way. If anybody out there has access to one, I'm not spending $1,700 on a PS5.
Hold on, $1,700?
That's what they're trying to charge on eBay for it.
No.
Yes.
So how much in the store, though?
$500.
Right, okay.
Wild.
All right. Here's the list for the UK. Nice little job there, Lewis.
Can I guess?
Hold on. Oh, let me get to the list. I got to go through a mountain of fucking ads. Jesus Christ. Whatever site this is. Go ahead. What was the number one Googled thing in the UK in the year 2020?
Crumpets.
Oh, God, no. Not this year. It's in a massive decline in the pandemic.
Tea time.
No. People don't care for that anymore. Bro.
Poppycock.
No, I'm sorry. That got beat out this year by Slapdash.
Okay.
Slapdash has seen a real resurgence. Poppycock, not so much.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Look, like I don't know much about British culture.
Now, number one, coronavirus. Incidentally, check this out for number 2, US election.
Wow. See, that's
how much. The number 2 most Googled thing in the UK was the US election.
I don't even know if you guys have an election. That's how little I give a fuck about British politics.
Well, we do have an election. Okay. And that's all I know about that as well. Yep. Number 3, Caroline Flack. This was a lady. She was, I think it was, what was the name of it now? She was the host of a TV show, like a reality TV show. I forget the name of it. Anyway, she was involved in a lawsuit. I think she might have assaulted her husband or something like that. She got dragged through the shit a little bit in the press and then very, very sadly took her own life. Wow. So yeah, very depressing. Number 4, coronavirus symptoms. 5, coronavirus update. 6, Premier League. 7, Boris Johnson. Eat out to help out at 8. Number 9, Kobe Bryant. And of course, this makes sense for number 10. The most 10th Googled thing in the UK in the year 2020 was Kim Jong-un. Of course, everyone's interested in him in England.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Good for England. You guys are really give a fuck about other people. It's a good sign. You guys care about worldly events.
Of course we do. There's a world out there that we have to pay attention to. What is the weirdest thing that you've ever Googled? Because whatever you think about Googling, it's been Googled before every time. And yeah, I'm not willing to go there, but I'm asking you, or us, Harrington, or Brian. In fact, Brian, go to your computer right now. We probably can't see this on screen, can we? If you type in some question, it'll come up with all kinds of weird possibilities.
He can share a screen.
I can share that, but I can tell you the weirdest thing that I've had to search because I had to do it recently on a show. Chris Vega made me look up milk enema porn.
Oh,
milk enema porn. Oh, that's
funny. Yeah.
What is milk enema porn for those less initiated?
So they take a thing and it looks like a street cone, but it's a little smaller. And they insert that into the woman's rectum, then pour milk into it.
Hell yeah. Mm.
And then that's as far as I got.
Dip an Oreo in?
hey, man, whatever floats your Oreo, I guess.
I see no issue with this. Why is that weird? You know, it's a milk enema, you know? Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we should thank Manscaped for supporting today's show. Manscaped has the absolute best ball shaver you're ever going to use in your entire life. The Lawnmower 3.0, super quiet. You can't even hear. It's got an LED attached to it. If you want to shave your balls in the dark, you're not going to nick yourself. That's the thing to understand about this. It is nearly impossible to cut yourself with it. If you've ever shaved your pubic region, you know for a fact it's a dangerous job. Okay, you got to go in there. You got to be clear-headed. You got to make sure you're awake. If you make one false move, guess what? Your family jewels are going to be a little bit beat up. Not the case with the Lawnmower 3.0.
And it is the 3.0, right? When Manscaped came out, it was, well, it revolutionized shaving your balls. Let's be honest. The 2.0, it was like it revolutionized the revolution. This is the 3.0. It comes with their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which includes the Crop Preserver and Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant and Moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpit, so, you know, why don't you want to put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls do stink. Harrington. Speaking of sweaty balls and stinky balls, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and stinking. And these products, let me tell you, smell good. I've never gone down and smelled it on a guy, but I've smelled the products. This product smell good. It's something I want to smell, Lewis.
Good. Well, how are you doing? You doing it by yourself? Are you getting like on your back and kicking your legs back and you just give yourself a whiff?
I'm very flexible. Okay. I'm very flexible. I apply this. I sniff this. I like this. I recommend this.
So listen to me right now. If you guys want to give this to your friends, family members, whoever it is for the holiday season, this is such a cool gift. I really do love it. We're going to give you 20% off plus free shipping. All you got to do right now is go to manscaped.com, that's past tense, manscaped.com, and use promo code Bisping, manscaped.com. Once again, promo code Bisping. Go do it now.
Here was another conversation that I wanted to start with. I thought this was a good one, but Lewis, not so much. China Airlines, listen, here's the thing, right? People in this country and in the UK, by the way, it's not an anti-US thing. People are bitching about having to wear face masks. You know what I mean? It's the government are telling you what to do. You got to wear a face mask. I don't want to wear a face mask. Well, imagine this.
Who's bitching about wearing face masks anymore? I don't even know anybody who's actually bitching about it. I think there are some people going like, is it really doing anything? Whatever.
You need to follow Karen's Gone Wild or Going Wild on Instagram. They have a lot of that shit. It's a lot of fun, actually. It's just people being dicks in stores, then getting arrested or tased or being racist, whatever, you know, and they get put in their place, you know. But no, you complain about wearing a face mask. Check this out. China Airlines now have told their staff to eliminate transmission of the coronavirus. You got to wear a diaper. They don't want a nappy, as we call it in England.
What's the thought process here?
Well, when I was filming that movie in England last week, whenever I went to the bathroom, there was a big sign in the bathroom saying, before you flush the toilet, put the toilet seat down because... when you flush it, it can propel up to 80,000 injected droplets into the air, right? So, you know, if you're pissing, I guess
I always hold my breath every time I flush. I mean, just since I was a kid, because I think it was because maybe sometimes you get a certain toilet where you like feel it like splat. You'll actually feel water sometimes if you're in a public toilet and it's really like forceful. So I always just was like, I'm definitely breathing in like shit particles and piss particles. So every time I flush a toilet, I always hold my breath anyway.
Yeah, nice. It's smart. You want to try working out and holding your breath, because I worked out with Callum before. He's got a badass, I'm telling you. When he farts, it's something else. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? We're trying to work out. Jesus Christ, I had to hold my breath. No, so anyway, China Airlines, they're like, they don't want their staff to go to the toilet and potentially contract coronavirus. And now they're going to wear diapers. They're going to shit in their pants whilst working. How do you feel about that, Lewis?
I like it. You know what? I got to be honest with you. At first, I didn't think I was going to like it. But when you started breaking down the science, I was like, good. I got to be honest with you. I don't really have much respect for flight attendants or airline employees. I deal with them a lot. And something happened in the airline industry maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Everything went like budget and everything went like lower quality service. You know what I'm saying? Have you noticed that? Like there's way less, like the average JetBlue flight 5 years ago was like gorgeous. Every plane was gorgeous. Virgin Atlantic, every plane was beautiful. And then everything for some reason is all these shittier airlines now, or every airline has like shittier planes.
Oh, 100%. And of course, they're restricting service because they don't want to interact with the, you know, the clientele, whatever. When I flew back on Virgin, beautiful flight. I got my meal. And I said, can I get a beer, please? And I said, can I get another beer? And she comes over and she says, just to let you know, this will be the last beer we can serve you. I had two little beers, two little glasses of beer. So it's not like I was hammered or
like,
anything.
Bitch, that's going to be the last beer you ever serve. Give me another beer.
And she says, just to let you know, last beer we can give you because the meal service has stopped and we can't serve you if we're not serving food. I'm like, okay, all right. I get that if I'm a restaurant because you don't want people coming in. That's one of the rules that they have. You can only get alcohol if you're buying food. And we're getting into the coronavirus, don't mean to. But she's like, but I'm here. I'm going nowhere for 11 hours. You know what I mean? I can't
how long
get
ago
off
was
the
this?
Plane.
This
pardon
is,
me?
This is just recently coming back
that
from
was Sunday.
Okay,
that was Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because every time I've flown since the pandemic started, there's no food or drinks served on the flights at all. I can't even get a fucking cup of coffee, but I'm assuming
but this
it's
is international, though.
Right. Yeah.
It's international. It's a little longer, so they've got to serve you. They've got to give you some food. Anyway, whatever. We'll leave that there because I don't want to get into the coronavirus bullshit again, you know, which is where we're going. I just thought it was hilarious.
No, we're talking airplane food.
China
like
are going to be wearing diapers and could potentially take in a dump as they're serving your food. I don't know about you, but I'm not into that.
No, neither am I. And to be honest with you, more than likely, I'm assuming most of the employees would poop before they got on the plane and then afterwards. Maybe a nice little pee. Honestly, peeing in a diaper seems like awesome.
No, it doesn't. You're going to get very chafed, very stinky, very sticky, very sweaty. It's not going to feel nice. But a little travel tip, Mikey B travel tip 101. Always. Always drop a douche before you get on a long haul flight. You got to do that. You know what I mean? I'll take a bit of Seneca the night before. You know what I mean? I'll get nice and loose. I'll have some coffee in the morning. Whoa, we're off to the races. Because the last thing you want to be doing is on a long haul flight. You go into the toilet. People have pissed all over the floor. There's a line of people. You walk in and it stinks and there's crap everywhere, literally. Yeah, you don't want to be doing that. So, you know, evacuate to the fullest ability prior to a long haul flight.
What's the longest flight you've ever been on?
Oh, God, longest flight. I don't know. 16 hours, something like that. I mean, I've flown all over the world. So from England to Australia is pretty far. You do like 14 hours to Hong Kong and then another 12 or something like that from
That's
there.
That's crazy. Yeah, I did New York to Hawaii is something like, I don't know, like maybe 12 or 13 hours.
Yeah, that'll be 5 to LA and then another 5, 6, maybe 6 and 6, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like 6 and 6, I think. That was a fucking pain in the ass. It's not worth it. Like, I hate being on a flight for that long. Like, I want to go to Australia, but I think to go to Australia from here, it's like 20 hours.
Well, it's 14 hours from LA. So you'll do 5, 5 and a half to LA and then another 14 on top. So there you go. Yeah, coming in at 20 hours there.
That's fucking math on the Believe You Me podcast today. We're crushing
fuck
it.
About, you know what I mean? No, we went, because we were just talking about going to Thailand again. We went to Thailand in 2016, right? All the family went and we got premium economy flights, right? Premium economy. It's not a lot, but it cost us $15,000 on flights alone. Do you know? And I said, because Rebecca's parents live in Malaysia, you know what I mean? So we kind of want to visit them and Thailand was fantastic. It was awesome, you know? So we're like, we should look at doing that maybe next year. And I throw out, but we're going economy. And Rebecca's like, no. I'm like, babe, get fucked. We haven't got championship of the world money anymore, okay? We're going economy. And I'm looking at, we can go economy for $700 each. And you bump it up to premium economy. It's $3,500 each. There's 5 of us, they're kids. They can sit in economy, simple as that. If we ever go to Thailand, it's economy, baby.
Devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Devil's avocado. Why not do pull the Home Alone 2 and put the kid, or the Home Alone 1, I should say, and put the kids back in economy, and you and Rebecca, because you've been living a lot longer and you've earned your keep and you've earned the right, why don't you guys fly with the nicer seats?
Well, still, because I got to pay for a business class for Rebecca. You know what I mean?
Put her back
it's just
with
me.
The
it's
kid.
Fine. Okay. I'll slum it for a day. Fuck it. We'll save some money. Anyway, UFC 256. We got a lot of MMA news as well. We got Chael coming on as well. What should we do? Should we get into some of this stuff here? Obviously, last week we just had Marvin Vittori on the show. Thanks again to Marvin. He had a great guy. Had a performance against, great performance against Jack Hermanson. Harrington, if you're there, just come on and give us the rundown here of this rankings thing. Obviously, the new middleweight rankings came out and there's been a bit of a shakeup, but some illogical choices, correct?
Yeah, it was a little curious. Darren Till, remember, he had to pull out of the fight with Jack Hermanson due to an injury. You know, everybody's really looking forward to that. So when the new UFC rankings came out, obviously Marvin Vettori is ahead of Jack Hermanson now. Hermanson was in the number 4 spot. Now in the number 4 spot, Darren Till, as Vittori slides in at number five, despite not having a fight last weekend. It's a little confusing.
So hold on. So Hermansson was at four, and where was Till?
Till, I believe, was at six, below Yoel Romero, who was at five.
All right, so Yoel's gone, so that's why Till jumps up to five. Hermansson got beat, so if essentially he slides down the rankings and Till takes his spot. So I don't know. Am I missing something? I don't really see anything wrong with that.
Why would Till leapfrog Hermansson? Because Till was below Hermansson.
Well, yeah, but in terms of rankings and all the rest of it, you know, once you start getting beat, I don't know. You take a loss, you go down in the rankings.
To a guy that's ranked much less than you, you're getting bumped down. That is, it's really inconsequential whether or not Till just happens to be lucky right now because he didn't fight.
Yeah.
But he's got a win over Calvin Gastelum. He did have the loss to Robert Whittaker. But I mean, it's not a it's not a conspiracy here.
What was Vittori ranked? I think that's the key issue here.
Vittori was in the I think he was either 12 or 13. He was up there. So it was a massive ranking jump for him.
So that's why. So Hermansson gets beat off somebody, and it's just the way it goes. You're all very good in the top 15. He gets beat by someone that's like ranked number 12, whatever. He's going to drop. Till didn't fight, so he stays where he is. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. I can
so Till
see
was
why
at
some
five,
people,
right?
Pardon me?
Till was at
Till
five.
Till was at six. Romero was at five.
Okay, so but he jumped. He got pushed into the number five spot. I get it. Okay, yeah. No, that actually makes sense. There was nothing else to do.
What
do
I know.
You can't really punish Till for not fighting. I mean,
the main story that Harrington put on here is that, oh, massive controversy in the rankings. The way you just broke it down, that makes perfect sense, Harrington.
It will, by the way, Devil's Advocate, it would also make sense if they ended up ranking Vittori over Till. It wouldn't be crazy. I wouldn't go, what's going on here? But either way, I could see the logic in doing that. And Till's a massive star. And to be honest with you, you know, Vittori versus Till, that seems to make a lot of sense now.
And is this a direct quote from Vittori that I see here in the notes, Harrington? It says, sir. Now the rankings just came out. Darren Till being ranked number four. It's a joke. Really, it's a joke. Oh, no, I'll do it as Marvin Vittori.
I do as Italian.
Not a rank, it just came out. Darren Till being number four. It's a joke, really. It's a joke. But I think
Mamma mia.
It will be a great scrap between me and Darren. After I beat somebody like a Darren Till, I'll be the only guy with two wins at the top for five. I don't know what will happen with the Whittaker. But after that, I feel like I deserve a title shot, to be honest. I'm willing to fight anybody. Que pasó? Que pasó? Chica, chica.
Your Italian accent is my favorite one now.
Oh, baby boy, listen, that rankings that just came out. It's a joke. It doesn't sound anything like that whatsoever.
It's a rankings that just came out.
The rankings that just came out. It's a joke. It's an insult to my people, to my passion, to the people of Italy. Anyway, whatever. There you go. Vittori versus Darren Till. That's a fucking great fight.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about that, but that's actually, it seems to make sense since he just beat the opponent that Till was supposed to face, right? And I understand why Vittori isn't calling out Till for the same reason why he changed his call out from Borrachino to Adesanya. Mm. You don't really want to fight a guy who's coming off a loss. But at the same time, Till's a massive fucking star, you know, and I love Till. And I think Till's great, but I think that's a really good fight for Vittori.
No, Darren's the man. I got so much respect for him. He's a good friend of mine now. And that's a great fight. That's a great fight. A good fight for both of them. Rumble Johnson making the news again this week. Anthony Rumble Johnson, as we know, he was in the UFC at 170. Right? Then he went to 185, missed weight badly, then went to 205. And now he walks around. He's like a fucking monster. He's like 260 pounds. He's been flirting about coming back to the UFC for a long, long time now. And then it came out this week that he's actually parted ways with the UFC and he signed with Bellator, which is I don't know. It's a shame, if you ask me. Rumble Johnson, one of the hardest hitting guys, great fighter, took some years out of the sport. I was really excited to see Anthony Johnson back in the UFC. I mean, good for Bellator and good for the UFC. You know, it seems like they're how do I put this? Well, they're letting people out of the contracts. You know what I mean? If people ask them, they're not holding them, you know, with a gun to their head and saying, no, we've got you by contract. If you want to go to Bellator, then fuck it, off you pop, you know?
I love that. I mean, that mentality is great. It shows confidence. Like, if you don't want to fucking fight for me, then don't fight for me. Go fight for somebody else. If somebody doesn't want to fight for your promotion, they're not going to do the job that you want them to do, which is to come in with that fucking crazy passion, to get the fans engaged, to do all of the media obligations, the social media. If they don't want to fight for you, I think a lot of the other side of it will be lacking.
Do you know who from Bellator. Sorry, rephrase that nonsense garbage that just came out of my mouth. Do you know who Bellator said no to? They said yes to Rumble Johnson. Do you know who they said no to this week?
I do.
Oh. Well, why don't you tell the people, smart ass?
They said no to two people. Number one, they said no to Yoel Romero. And then number two, they said no to fucking...
Who? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh, who was it? Damn it. God damn it.
Don't say Anderson Silva because that's weeks old.
I know, but that was the other one. Yes, it was Anderson Silva.
No,
but
Yoel Romero. They crazy. Said no to Yoel Romero. Yeah, I'm very surprised at that because Yoel, listen, we talked about this last time. We won't spend long on it, but weird that they took Johnson, but they said no to Yoel. I would assume, again, similar to Anderson Silva, I'm assuming he's got a hefty price tag. You know, and for the same reasons, listen, you lost your last three in a row. You're 44, 45 years old almost. You know, you're not worth that money. So that's a shame for Yoel. It is. And I wish him the best because I got nothing against the guy.
But back to Anthony Rumble Johnson for a second, though. Am I mistaken in reading this here that Bellator does not comply with USADA testing?
I hear that is a thing. I do hear that. Yeah. But they don't have USADA. I think they do have testing, which is on the night, but apparently I've heard from some people that apparently they don't get tested. But Harrington, go on.
So I just wanted to clear that up. So Anthony Rumble Johnson, the only thing that was holding up his return, obviously when retiring fighters come back, they have to get back into the pool. It was like that whole Brock Lesnar rule. If you remember, that kept holding him up. He kept pushing that back. March was going to be his return date. With him joining Bellator, there's no more USADA restrictions on him, so he can join whenever he wants.
Okay, we must thank Omigo. I love my Omigo bidet. I have two Omigo bidets in my house. If you guys don't know, a bidet, it washes your butt. You don't need to use toilet paper or wet naps or any of that. That is a thing of the past. It shoots a little stream of water. It cleans you like you've never been cleaned before. It's like jumping in the shower every time you take a poop. Or a pee, if you're a woman. I should say or a pee. And it's super easy to install. It takes just 15, 20 minutes. You do it all by yourself.
Well, listen, I'll see your two and I'll raise you to three. I've got three. That's how affordable they are. And I'll see your 15 minutes installation and I'll reduce it down to 10. I mean, wow. to be fair, the first one might've been 25, 20 on the second, 10 on the third, because I got the system down. Listen, at the end of the day, you got to try these things out. They're amazing. It is not your old school bidet, right? You sit on these things, they warm your ass up, they squirt the water, it dries your ass. There's a little button. You don't have to touch anything. You know what I mean? You just walk in, you pull your pants down, you sit down, and then you let technology do the rest. You got a little joypad by the side of your bathtub, your toilet there. It's very good, trust me. And obviously the one I'm talking about there that dries, the old singing, the old dancing, that's the deluxe model, but there is an entry point level as well. It's very, very affordable, as Lewis said. Just takes a few minutes to install. Never buy toilet paper again. Way better for the environment and cleans you. So there you go. Give it a try. Trust me. I swear to God, you will not regret this purchase. You need to check out Omigo. It is a total game changer and they have a bidet for every toilet, but, and as I said, every single budget. All you got to do is go to myomigo.com. myomigo.com/BYM and you'll take 15% off today. One more time, that's myomigo.com/BYM. Take 15% off, clean your butt, save on toilet paper, impress your guests. There you go. Oh, look at this guy. I believe we have one, Chael P. Sonnen.
What's happening? Hey,
what's up?
I got to apologize. I'm in a terrible location, but Mike, I'm in quarantine. I know you know all about this, so I have one piece of furniture in the whole room. I'm sitting on it.
Listen, you're in a temporary residence. You're still in a better location than both of me and Lewis, and this is where we choose to do the show. Thanks for joining us, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm happy to be here. I got to tell you, I'm bored out of my mind. You're the only thing I had to look forward to today. I'm so happy you had me on. Hey, what were you guys just talking about? Were you talking about Rumble?
Look at that. Our pets' heads are falling off. Yeah, we were just discussing Rumble Johnson, and no better person than yourself. Obviously, you work with Bellator. They said no to Yoel Romero, but they said yes to Rumble Johnson. What is, in your opinion, the reasoning for those things?
Okay, listen. So hear me out on this, because all of MMA, as you know, whether it's Coker, whether it's Dana, whether it's somebody off, all has the idea that you bring a guy in, you sign him to a minimum 3-fight contract, that you have a whole year's plan, and here's he's going to go in this direction. We tell stories in MMA. Other sports aren't like this, but this is what MMA is. Hear me out. What if Bellator changed the way they were thinking? What if instead of doing a 3-fight deal and bringing a guy in for the next year, 18 months, what if it was just a one-off? What if they just signed Romero and Johnson, oh, by the way, and have them fight each other.
Yeah.
That sounds like an interesting match to me. And, Michael, I think right now in this time, you have Anderson Silva on the table. I mean, you have a few guys where maybe they don't have three or four or five fights. Maybe they don't have a year's story, but they have something special right now tonight. Let's do it. Boxing does.
No, I'm all for it, 100%. That's what I'm just saying, kind of curious. And number one, that Johnson, and no disrespect to Bellator, I would have thought he'd go to Bellator, and we were just kind of, I think alluding is a strong word, but just pondering the fact that whether or not USADA was an issue with that. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not throwing any shade at Rumble Johnson. But what is the situation with Bellator? They don't have I think they test fighters on the night, correct?
Yes, they do have out-of-competition testing that they will individually do. But if you're talking about, like, the stringency of it, you know, USADA's 24-7, around-the-clock surprise test, it's the ultimate way to do it. That comes with an ultimate budget, in all fairness. Yeah, that's not happening anywhere in MMA except the UFC. And Romo would be tested. I mean, I don't think you're wrong to speculate on that, though, because I had wondered the same thing, because he entered the pool. Michael, don't forget, he entered the USADA pool. He had a contract with the UFC, a nice, big, beautiful contract. Don't forget, when he went out the number two guy in the world. He was main eventing shows. I mean, he probably went out with like a half a million guarantee. And it would seem as though if you're going to talk to other promoters or test that water, you would have done it prior to entering the pool. So I'm with you. We're not saying anything more than two guys talking, but it would seem as though did something happen.
Lewis?
Yeah, I mean...
Letting you get in there, Lewis.
Not a problem. I mean, it's curious.
We have a little system in place, Chael, and some of the viewers may have noticed this. Now, on occasion, you might see a little finger pop up like that. Just a little finger. That means you take it from here. So that therefore, we're not always talking over one another. And I gave the finger, Lewis, and I think you missed the finger.
I did not see the finger. You see, we have our own little sign language, Chael. Okay, you see one finger, two fingers. These are all different things. It's like a baseball pitcher. Yeah, very, very curious. And I... Sorry.
And look, by the way, when Michael and I work together, we just step on each other's foot. That means I don't help me out here.
Yeah, so yeah. Same thing. When you gotta throw it to someone. I don't know much about this subject. Shit. The anchor just said, Michael, talk us through the first flyweight fight on the prelims tonight. I'm like, oh God, I've got nothing. I'm like, okay, well, it's gonna be a sensational fight, and I'm kicking Chael under the table. Jump in, buddy.
You do the little foot tap. You're like, oh, this guy likes me. I like it. All right. I mean, it is very curious, and I do think it is interesting to see that they turn some of these guys down. Do you have any insight or maybe any idea as to why they pass on somebody like Anderson? I just feel like the pure star power alone would have been worthwhile to them. Are they shifting? Because I think the perception for a while was Bellator is taking a lot of UFC, I don't want to say like, guys that were cut or whatever it was, but it seemed like a lot of the star power came from the guys that were former UFC fighters. And lately there's been a couple curious decisions where they aren't taking some of the biggest stars in the sport that are available.
Sure. Well, Scott Coker talked about this, so I'll just summarize what he said. But he said there was a time when, I used to take some of the cast-offs. I think he called them OGs. And he said, but now I just have such a young crop I spent so long on that now they're getting star power. So we're able to do it internally. I will tell you my own personal opinion, but guys, this all dates back to Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell. When that happened, that was such a disaster of bringing these older athletes in or bringing them back. And it just gave such a bad look that a lot of promoters got very scared. You know, if your number is over 40, they started to look and push back. When you combine over 40 with a UFC cast off, I think Coker just said, man, I'm going to try a better way to do this.
Yeah, and rightly so. You know what I mean? Because they don't want to get that reputation of being the graveyard of UFC fighters, you know? Yep. So, you know, it makes total sense. This weekend, Chael, we'll just get this out of the way real quick. Leah, obviously, she's fantastic. She said, make sure you ask Chael about the Submission Underground. And it seems like every other weekend you have an event. So you got another one this weekend, correct?
Yeah, it's next week in the 20th, but we have been going strong. Like in the pandemic, you know, the commission's kind of changed some of the rules and grappling was still open. So at any rate, yeah, we've been a little busy. We got a great one, by the way. Main event, Mason Fowler, the champion, who beat Craig Jones twice, but he's taken on Vespa. You remember Ishii, the Olympic champion, 2008 judo? Okay,
The judo guy.
That's right. They're going to come to head in the main event, but then we've got a supporting cast. We got Donald Cerrone taking on RDA. Werdum is taking on Rumble Johnson. Felicia Spencer. is going to go out and compete with Amanda. So all in all, it's a very loaded card. I'm name dropping a little on you, but it's rare that we get some of these bigger names that want to come grapple. I'll tell you one we almost had Tony Ferguson versus George St. Pierre.
No way. Yeah. Wow.
I think in the world of people stopping what they're doing and kind of looking, I think that would have been a pretty fun match.
Is that something that you guys can still do in the future or just didn't?
Yeah, both guys were in. Tony accepted in about 2 seconds. Surprisingly, George accepted in about 1 minute. And then George ran into a travel because of the pandemic. He ran into a travel issue with Canada, but he tried. I mean, I got to give them both credit. They both wanted to get a hold of each other.
Yeah, well, that's Tony Ferguson for you, isn't it? I mean, that guy, sure. You know, yeah. you got to respect Tony Ferguson. Is he a little bit out there? 100%. He's on planet Mars. But when it comes to fighting, he'll fight anyone anywhere. He's down for it. You know, he's entertaining in his weird, quirky style, you know, which leads me to this weekend, really. He's taking on Charles Oliveira. And I think that's, you know, in some ways a very, very dangerous fight for Tony stylistically because, you know, they both match up. They both like to use the elbows and knees in the clinch. They both got tremendous ground games. So it could be a tough fight for Tony. How do you see this, Chael?
No, it's very interesting. I agree. And the odds makers, you know, I'm out here in Vegas. They still have it for Tony, but a lot of the insiders, a lot of the guys in the locker room are saying, no, wrong guy at the wrong time. I'll tell you too. Little bit interesting, and Lewis, Michael and I can tell you, but no matter how tough we think we are, the first time you walk into a main event or the first time you're standing across from a guy who used to be at home watching on TV, you can put your game face on, but you feel something different. You're 5 rounds and ESPN, there's a lot on it. Look at this from Oliveira's standpoint. He's getting the big fighter, the former champion, the top guy in the world, one of, but he doesn't have to close out the night. He doesn't feel the pressures of first 5 rounds and second of being the main event. Like everything is perfect for Oliveira to come in and have a great performance.
Yeah, there wasn't a finger, but that was a direct toss to you.
I agree.
Yeah, what? Listen, it's a very, very dangerous fight because as I said, stylistically, they match up. And for Tony, this is what makes him so exciting because he takes a lot of damage in his fights. I mean, look at the fight with Lando Venata. Lando Venata just got signed with the UFC, came in, and it looked like he was going to knock Tony out. And of course, as we know with Tony Ferguson, he weathers the storm and then he gets the finish. Look at the fight with Kevin Lee. Same again. Kevin Lee, sensational first round, had him mounted, almost finished him in the first round, but then Tony's just so fucking tough and skilled. It's not only toughness and heart and cardio and all the rest of it. He's very, very skilled as well, but he does take a lot of damage in his fights. And I'm just wondering, when you look at that last fight with Justin Gaethje, and again, I'm not throwing shade at Tony Ferguson, nothing but respect for that man. As you start to take so much damage, and certainly in the last fight against Justin Gaethje, there was a lot of damage taken in that. I mean, what is your opinion on that, Chael? He's taken a lot of damage, and do you think he'll, at some point, he's going to have to pay the price from that kind of style? You know what I'm saying? Because when you have those wars, it's great, but it's definitely minimizing the length of your career.
For sure. And, you know, there's two things that I take from your question. First off, what I saw in Tony against Gaethje, and the old adage that we're only as good as our last fight. Okay, fine. That's true in this space. But if you look at that, I think your eyes will deceive you. I saw a tired athlete. I saw an athlete who went from multiple training camps. The date of the event kept getting moved.
Two weight cuts.
He did two weight cuts. He changed opponents drastically in a grappler from Khabib to a striker in Gaethje. He went from a sold-out Barclays Arena to a pandemic in front of nobody. I mean, I just saw a guy who was tired. He was mentally and physically, he was just tired, and he looked a beat slow. It looked like, I mean, he was throwing plenty of punches, but he was getting hit and he wasn't touching back. He was throwing the output. He was just a little bit slow. I offer that to you because the point that you just made, which is Tony likes to come on late. He takes some damage, but he weathers the storm. It's the ultimate rope-a-dope. You wear out. He's made for championship rounds. Michael, I got to remind you, this isn't championship rounds. This is 3 rounds. If you look at Tony's fight with Pettis, it was very competitive until it wasn't. If you look at his fight with Cowboy, it was very competitive until it wasn't. Those moments aren't here. It's 15 minutes. I mean, if he comes out as a slow starter, he throws the first round away, he's got to grab the next two. I think Tony can do it, but I think for us to discuss whether this unknown in Oliveira, I mean, he's a total stud, but he's not a household name. He could get a major spring out of this. I think it's a fair prediction. I'm not hedging my bet that way. I'm clinging to the old guard with Tony, but I see the problem that he's facing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in fact, while we're on that note, obviously Gaethje, after that last fight, you were just saying that Tony looks slow. And not slow, a little tired. And that's an interesting perspective. And I do agree with you on that. Of course, we saw Gaethje after he beat him, got beaten of Khabib, and Khabib just looked incredible. We haven't spoken to you. Give us your thoughts on that, on how, on what do you think happened with Justin Gaethje? You just think he just got overwhelmed by the greatness of Khabib? You think it was kind of a deer in the headlights? What is your perspective on that fight, how that went down?
Man, I've always known Khabib was special and Khabib was different. I didn't know he was that damn good. I mean, I really did not know. He was in two bad positions in that fight because he put himself in the, he pulled guard twice and ultimately finished with the submission. I didn't know he was that good to overwhelm Gaethje. In some parts, he even wore Gaethje down. He only had like 7 minutes. He had Gaethje, who's a cardio machine. He had him tired. I mean, there were so many impressive things that Khabib did, not to mention he's harboring the death of his father and the own secret he's keeping from everybody, which is, this is my last time and I'm going to say goodbye. I mean, a lot of guys, when they're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, I was so impressed with that performance. That was amongst the greatest combat performances in history. They say in boxing that the Mike Tyson that competed against Spinks, the Mike Tyson that knocked out Michael Spinks, is the greatest boxer of all time. I submit for you the Khabib that performed against Gaethje is the greatest martial artist I've ever seen.
Do you think that he's going to really retire? Do you think he should? Because nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever retired on top, undefeated, especially in mixed martial arts. You know, even Mayweather's still competing in you know, exhibitions and things like that right now. But do you think, number one, do you think he's going to stay retired? Number two, do you think he should retire?
Oh, the should, no, but I always look at it differently. I look at the should of, you can't do this anymore. Your time is done. He is not there. But to see a guy go out on top, Lennox Lewis, a guy like this, it's so rare. So good for him if that's what he wants to do. I will tell you this, though. The one thing that he hasn't done that he said he was going to do, he said he was going to be undefeated. He said he was going to be the best ever, the pound for pound, the champion. He didn't beat Tony Ferguson. And the only reason I bring that to you is Errol Hawani had brought this to me. And Errol goes, you know what? I think if Tony looks great in this fight with Oliveira, not only beats him, but looks great, I think that is the best chance that we have of Khabib coming back. Khabib himself has said, there's no point in me fighting Poirier or Connor. And I feel like Khabib does mean that. But the one thing that would be new, the one thing that he hasn't done, and the one thing that he did at one point in his career say he would do, was beat Tony Ferg. He hasn't done it yet. I don't know if I agree with Errol. I think we're likely never going to see Khabib again. But I do think there's some legs to what Ariel's saying, with that is the most likely scenario where Khabib comes back.
And I think stylistically, potentially one of the tougher matchups for Khabib. Perfect. You know, I mean, Connor, yeah, okay, if he lands on you, you know, you got a problem. Same with Dustin Poirier, but he's going to take you down and he's going to give you a nightmare. That's Tony's world down there, you know. So as you said, if he comes out here, he beats Oliveira, does it in impressive fashion and says to the world, hey, look, listen, one bad night at the office doesn't mean I'm written off. I think you might be able to tempt Khabib with that, seeing as the fact they were matched up, what, four times, I think, over the years, which is just ridiculous.
Five times.
I mean, that fight has to happen. So if there was any perfect 30th fight, it would be that.
Mr. Bisping, we should really quickly talk about our incredible sponsor, DraftKings. DraftKings makes watching the already most exciting sport in the world that much more exciting. When you got a little skin in the game, obviously you're paying that much more attention. And it's not traditional MMA gambling. This is fantasy MMA. It's super easy to play. It's really fun. And in my opinion, it's the best way to put your MMA knowledge to the test.
Yeah, listen, if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is very, very easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedown, strikes, etc., etc. There is no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot of millions of dollars all week long. But if MMA is not for you, then don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all of the sports that have returned to action. Plus, don't forget about football season, when DraftKings has even more money up for grabs every single week of the season. Listen, you want to get involved? Big fights this weekend, UFC 256. Download the DraftKings app right now and then use the promo code BYM to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. So once more, that is the promo code BYM to get a shot at literally millions of dollars in total prizes, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Anyway, right, listen, we've got Harrington, our producer, on standby here. And here's what we'll do. Normally on Thursdays, we do hammer fisting with Harrington. So you're good for a little bit of time, seeing as you're quarantining, Chael?
I'm all yours.
All right. Well, so what we do is we go around the houses. Harrington comes on. We apologize in advance for Harrington. Harrington, we don't know. Maybe he was dropped on his head as a child. He's a little bit slow, you know. Harrington, show yourself, buddy. What are you wearing today?
Yeah, you can smell him. You can smell him through the computer, Jill.
He's okay. You look good today. He's lost a little weight. He's got a little bit of self-respect going on at the moment. So Harrington gives us a topic. He throws it at us, and then we all give our quick, you know, we give our quick take on what he just said. As I said, apologies in advance for what nonsense might come out of his mouth.
All right. Well, first things first, guys.
Can I real quick? Sorry, Harrington. I apologize to cut you off. He was very excited to jump in. Harrington, why don't you mix in some big topics from 2020 into the hammer fisting? Because we haven't had Chael on. It's probably been a year at least. And we'd like to get some of Chael's opinions on the bigger topics from the year.
All right.
So think fast, Harrington. Think fast, think quick, be on your feet, and make it intelligent. Let's go. We got the great Chael piece on it. The bad guy, from the mean streets of Western Oregon. Have some respect.
Undefeated, undisputed.
Undefeated, undisputed, fucking pound for pound champ. Harrington, over to you. Don't fuck it up.
The dream come true, and you're just stepping on me every time, Mike. Okay, so first things first. Two guys are laying claim to the winner of Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor. Both Charles Oliveira said this week, the winner of Tony Ferguson versus Oliveira obviously should be fighting for that, for the next one up for the title. Justin Gaethje says he's the man who should face Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor. Who do you guys think makes the most sense for the interim 155 strap?
Chael.
All right, I got to go first. Harrington, first up, nice to see you, by the way. I'm sorry for that introduction they gave you, but I'm happy to have you. And you want to know what? I think you're leaving two guys out. I mean, you mentioned Gaethje, but I believe if you look at the chessboard, you got Conor versus Poirier. It looks like Tony will go into a good spot if he gets past Oliveira or vice versa. But it appears when you're talking Gaethje, the only guy left is Chandler. I think Chandler and Gaethje are going to get in there. And I think that one, look, there's always power in going last. Even in a court of law, the defense gets to go last. It gets to have the final word. I think the fact that if I'm right and Gaethje and Chandler get matched up and they do it last, they will be on everybody's tongue. I think the winner of that is going to have a say in this.
I'll go next. I agree. Answering your question directly, who lays more of a claim versus Gaethje or the winner of Ferguson versus Oliveira?
Hold on, Lewis. Can we just clarify what the question is? Because I got a little distracted for a second. So if Poirier and Conor fight, the winner of that versus the winner of who? Just clarify the question one more time for the idiot in me.
Well, I think that it's pretty much everyone is taking it for granted that the winner of Conor versus Poirier is going to fight somebody for the interim title. They're not putting the interim title on the line for this one. You got to figure one of those guys is going to fight for the interim title next. Who's it going to be against?
It may not even be interim. It might be the title if Khabib stays retired. Yeah. I think you can't really give it to Gaethje. He just lost the title shot. I think you got to give it to whoever's coming off that big win.
Yeah, I think Conor versus Poirier, I mean, early prediction, probably Conor gets the job done again, I would assume. That's no disrespect to Dustin Poirier. But then Conor's going to go off, and he's talking about boxing Manny Pacquiao. I think that eradicates him from the title scenario. I think the UFC want Conor to be the champion for obvious reasons. He's a massive star, generates tons of money. But they don't want an absentee champ. Who knows how long he's going to be out for?
Is that why you think they didn't put the interim title on the fight to begin with?
I think, man, that amongst some other things that I won't go into right now. So I don't know. I don't know, Harrington. But give us a better fucking hammer fisting. That was like, just, we need something with a definitive answer. Go. Topic okay, two.
Big topics this year, right? I think the biggest super fight they can make right now, Israel Adesanya versus John Jones. Israel Adesanya has been adamant that it will be International Fight Week 2021. This week, guys are talking, ramping up. John Jones says that he's working on his wrestling. Israel Adesanya responds, says he's got his purple belt. He's going to start submitting people now. The ground game could become an issue in this one. Guys, do you think that they are on a crash course for July of 2021?
Well, and you got to throw it to someone, Harrington, at the end. Final thing, you got to throw it to someone. Chael, as the guest, go ahead first, sir.
Hey, I'm buying that. I think that the obvious chess move here, just Dana moving Izzy to the weight class to stop by and see Blachowicz first. I think we're taking a lot for granted there. I mean, Blachowicz is the champion for – I think we are taking a lot for granted. But, yes, I believe that that is the play. Get a belt around Adesanya. Bring John Jones back in. I agree with you that that is the biggest fight. If Izzy says that it's going to be around July, sure, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, Jones came out this week with a very interesting quote. He said, the part of the reason I'm going up to heavyweight is because at light heavyweight, they don't scare me there. You know, I don't get intimidated. And as you know, Chael, you do need that factor. And you know, Lewis, you've been in there. You're fighting Jason Ellis soon. You need that little, you know, it keeps you on edge. It gets the adrenaline going. It gets you in the gym. And he said he was rather complacent for those reasons because nobody at light heavyweight intimidated him, which I understand that because, you know, he was so dominant for so long. At heavyweight, he said, these guys are so big, you know, that they're really giving me something to think about and motivates me in training camp. To your point, Chael, yeah, I think we're overlooking Jan Blachowicz, just saying that Izzy's got to walk through him. But when you look at them on paper, Izzy just looks so fucking good right now. So yeah, I do believe they're on a collision course. Lewis.
And also, I mean, Jan very well could win that fight. And it doesn't really matter. These guys talk so much shit publicly about each other. It sort of doesn't matter. The title would be a beautiful thing. Obviously, you want to have those two guys fight for a title. But if they just fought a main event, five-rounder super fight, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Who cares indeed? That's a fight everyone wants to see, certainly when two people don't like each other. You're the only person, Chael, that stepped in the ring with John Jones. How do you see that fight going down between Adesanya and Jones? You got to think Jones with the wrestling, correct?
Sure. You know, I'm a big believer in Adesanya right now. He's got a lot of hype around him. Yes, John Jones, the big problem used to be he would just throw everybody down and then beat the hell out of you. He's taking less and less guys down. He had a really hard time, you know, with Reyes, just by example, who isn't a decorated wrestler but has some pretty good hips. And I only bring that to you because if John does digress a little, then Adesanya continues to progress a little bit. Don't forget, Adesanya is never going to weigh 205 pounds. Isn't even going to try. He weighs about 193. He plans to not gain any weight, get in there about 193. I mean, that's a dangerous proposition. I think Adesanya is up against it. But that's the fight I want to see, man. That is the biggest fight the sport can make right now, in my opinion.
And, Chael, I mean, you a true 185-pounder, went up and fought John Jones at 205 pounds. So you can speak to that. How powerful was John Jones when you actually fought him?
Yeah, we locked up right at the beginning. And, you know, I knew this guy would have some drug testing issues, whether he'd had them or not. But I can tell you, I showed up with a higher juice concentrate than Tropicana that night. We locked up at the beginning, and he pushed me across the ring like a volt pole against a Mack truck. And I remember getting backed up until I hit the fence. This is like 13 seconds into the fight. And I remember saying to myself, oh, crap. I remember thinking that, and I thought, well, you know, he gets you on the fence. He's going to come with a spinning elbow. Sure enough, that elbow was going to, I got just out of the way, and then it went downhill from there. But he was a strong guy. I mean, I think that was your question. I felt his power. I felt his size for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Harrington, what's next, bud?
All right, couple people want Henry Cejudo back in the sport. King of Cringe getting called out by Cody No Love Garbrandt. Says it's garbage that he's leaving, you know, with this many years still in front of him. He wants to fight him. Another guy, Davidson Figueiredo, wants a March 6th date with Henry Cejudo for the lightweight version of the, or the lighter weight version of the BMF title. Who do you guys want to see Henry Cejudo fight more, Chael?
Okay, I like that match, and you know, I think Peter Yan wants in there too. I was surprised when Cody called him out. I never knew there was heat there, and they're both trained by, or they're both managed by Ali, so I figured there was some level of camaraderie. Apparently, I'm wrong about that. Between the two, though, I would want to see him in there with Figueiredo. If he's going to come back, it needs to be against a champion, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. If he goes back at 125, got to be Figueiredo. That guy is on a path to stardom right now. If he gets another big win this weekend, I mean, you know, he just ticks all the boxes. He's a nasty, mean little bastard. But you've got TJ, you've got Piotr Jan, who everyone's forgetting he's the champ at 135. Then you got Cody. You know, there's muddy waters down there. There's a lot of talent, whether it's at 135 or 125. That all depends on Cejudo. So I guess you can't really say who he'll fight next. It depends what weight class he comes back at. Lewis, what have you got?
Why not have him come back at 145? Become the true
champion. Why not? Let's go crazy. 155.
Right? all right. All right. So Evander Holyfield says that he thinks the trilogy bout with Tyson is going to happen. Here's the quote. We've definitely had conversations with him. It looks like it's going to happen. Let's do it, baby. Simple as that. Let's do it. I'm very confident person. I think it's going to happen. I wouldn't have said if I wasn't ready, I wouldn't have said nothing to him. Do you guys, A, think this fight happens? And B, is this the fight that people want to see most next for Mike Tyson? Lewis, why don't you start?
Yeah, sure. Fine. Make it happen. What is it? Third time fighting?
Third.
Yes.
Yeah. Third time fighting. Sure. I mean, I do we think that Mike Tyson's going to come back and go on a title run? No, I think these exhibitions against older guys makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of fun. You know, I watched that pay-per-view. We had a bunch of people over. It was very, very enjoyable across the board. So yeah, I think it does make a ton of sense, and it's inconsequential. The other two fights don't really matter. They have a lot of history, which is great, but I think it's just people are going to tune in for anything Tyson does.
I think I would be way more excited for this one than Roy Jones. Not disrespect to Roy Jones, tremendous boxer, legendary boxer, but there was never any backstory or anything there. Just two legendary boxers. There was a nostalgia feel to it. So that was a lot of fun. But if you look at the history that he had with Evander Holyfield, I mean, for crying out loud, the last time in the ring together, he bit his goddamn ear off. Whilst I don't see Tyson coming back and making a run and becoming a champ, there was some talk of that. I think that's nonsense. You put him in with Joshua, you put him in with a guy like Tyson Fury. You know, the man's 53 years old. I'm not saying anything disrespectful there. But a fight against Evander Holyfield would capture my imagination more than the Roy Jones one. I don't think either man really wants to come back and be a professional full-time, but I would part ways with a few dollars to see that. I would, not many. You know, don't come at me with $50, none of that nonsense, but I'd give you $25 to watch that jail.
Sure, I'm in, you know, and I think the story tells itself. And the other side of the coin is, what are our other options? It seems like that's the obvious one, but all of a sudden, Buster Douglas inserted himself. Buster Douglas now says he wants to fight Mike Tyson. Then you have to wonder what Mike wants. Does Mike really want in there with a guy that's whipped his ass twice to the point that he had to cheat to get disqualified because, you know, it was the lesser of getting knocked out? Or does he want in there with the guy that's capable or, you know, did the biggest upset in boxing history, the biggest upset in Mike's career in Buster Douglas? Maybe that one would attract Mike more. I'd love to hear Mike's opinion.
And this is the thing as well. We're seeing every, you know, retired ex-fighter with a kind of a marquee name, all throwing the names into the mix because you look at the money that's being generated. And if you're a former boxer, then why the hell wouldn't you want to do that? You know, they're apparently there's no knockouts. There's going to be no winner. There seems to be no danger. It's all upside. You get a massive payday out of it. Not to mention, you know, your name's back in the headlines. You know, as a fighter's chair, we kind of miss that. You miss being the center of attention. So they get all that. They get a payday. They get back in shape. So it's a win-win for everybody, Harrington.
All right. Well, sticking with boxing for a bit here, everybody's saying Mayweather, this is his first fight since Conor McGregor. Actually, he's had an exhibition before in Japan, December 31st, 2018. That was an exhibition fight. It ended in a very quick knockout. My question is, do you think he's going to carry that same kind of ferocity, Chael, into this fight with Logan Paul? Do you see Mayweather scoring an early knockout?
Yeah, I sure do, and I think he will, and only because we saw that fight. I believe the opponent's name was Tenshin. But that guy, even though undersized, 125-pounder going up against Floyd, but he was the sitting and reigning world kickboxing champion. I mean, this guy knew what he was doing. He was 25 years young. Floyd was 41. And, I mean, Floyd dusted him. We were told it was going to be an exhibition. We thought they were going to move around. It was in Japan. We thought maybe the fix was in. Floyd went out there and whipped his ass, put him down three times and got it out of there quickly. To your point, I don't think he's going to be any nicer to Paul.
What is your opinion on all of this type of thing? You know, these YouTubers. I mean, we were talking about it on the last show. I've got nothing against people making money. Good for them. God bless them. But how do you feel it's watering down combat sports? What's your opinion on this, Chael? Because me and Lewis have spoke about this at length.
Well, the integrity of boxing is certainly called into question, but I think you could question the integrity of boxing throughout time. And in fairness, we'll never get Floyd back. I mean, I can sit in Badmore with Floyd. Michael, I would trade spots with him right now, make a whole bunch of money for a very easy night that a bunch of people are going to see. You're going to get a pat on the back. I mean, I would do it. So if you're Floyd and that's what your sport is calling for right now, that's what's moving the needle, right place, right time. Why fight a Canelo? Why fight a Triple G? I mean, I think he's doing everything right. It hurts me only because I will miss Floyd from a selfish standpoint. If we could see Floyd in there being competitive, a Terrence Crawford, somebody like this, that would really interest. I prefer that as a fan, but I can't really blame Floyd for this.
And was there, I don't know if you watched the Logan Paul fight against KSI. Was there anything that you saw in Logan Paul that makes you believe that he's got any type of chance?
No, of course not. Listen, he needs to just tell the truth for what it is. He needs to say, I will never be as good of a boxer as Floyd, but I'm 190 pounds. I will always be 40 pounds bigger than Floyd. I think size matters. Paul thinks size matters. Tell the truth and let it go.
Chael, 190 pounds. Come on, I thought we were friends. We're lying to each other now, are we?
No, this is Paul.
Sorry.
The only thing Paul has that you could possibly make an argument for is he's about 40 pounds bigger.
You know, Paul, he's calling out people like Ben Askren and things like that. Obviously, you're retired. Would there be anything like that that could ever tempt you? For me personally, I would, but I don't think the commissions would let me fight. What about you? Is there an opponent, a style, a number that would lure you back into the ring?
Michael, I don't even know if there's anything that could lure me back into the practice room to do anything but watch. I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed. I've been doing some bench pressing. I've been doing some curls. That is the extent. I'm not even running right now. I'd like to change that, actually. I'd like to get a little bit more exercise in, but the answer, no. JLP is done.
Nice. Well, congrats.
Yeah, you're the only MMA fighter to retire on top. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Harrington, go on. Do a couple more of these, and then we'll go through the main card of the pay-per-view if you've got... Oh, you can't make predictions, though, right, Chael? No, we can't do that.
I'll make them. I'll make predictions.
Well, fuck it. Well, let's go, then. We'll do it. But give us a couple more topics, Harrington, then we'll switch to the fights.
Just wanted to stay on one more while we're talking about boxing. Clarissa Shields...
Nobody watches this show anyway, Chael, so don't worry about it. No one's going to see it. Harrington.
So Clarissa Shields, again, just joined the PFL. It looks like she's making the transition. She was a championship boxer. She was an Olympic gold medalist. Now she's dabbling in the sport. My question for you guys, if things go right, how long is it going to take? Like, what is the path for someone like that to getting these super fights in either Bellator or the UFC?
Well, it's a tricky road. Number one, you got to talk about the wrestling, so she's got to be matched up correctly because, I mean, Chael can tell you more than anybody. And so can I, as somebody that tried to learn wrestling. It takes time. It takes a long, long time before you can do anything effective. Just being shown it in the training room and actually carrying it out, when the pressure is on is a very, very different thing. So if they throw her somebody that can't wrestle too well, then of course that's a favorable matchup, and then you start sprinkling in the grapplers as she starts getting a little bit more experience. But as of right now, she's still completely improving. And I just believe it's far too early to talk about any kind of super fights with anyone over there at the UFC. She's clearly got the hands. She's very, very good at boxing. She's athletic. She's going to have a work ethic. She's going to have the footwork and all the rest of it. But the grappling side of thing in mixed martial arts dominates these type of fighters. So she's got to work on that. And that remains to be seen. Chael?
Yeah, I got to tell you, let's just say she does everything right. And she has a career like Izzy Adesanya, who transferred over from striking, and she just gets it. She's still got a problem when you're talking super fight. She's in a division that doesn't exist. 155 pounds does not exist in the UFC or within Bellator. Even in the PFL, they are struggling and scrambling right now to fill a roster to have potential opponents for. I think that's one of her bigger challenges. She might have to do what Kyla Harrison did, and that is pull the weight off, get down to 145 where there's some women to compete with.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Holly Holm come into the sport as a really decorated boxer as well, and she had massive success in derailing Ronda Rousey. So I'd like to see it. That's very exciting. I didn't realize she was making the jump over to MMA. It's a name that I've heard in the background for quite some time. So when you're that high level of an athlete, I would be surprised if she wasn't able to catch up. And no offense to women's mixed martial arts, but it's not like they have the same caliber of wrestlers on average in female mixed martial arts that they do in male mixed martial arts. And I feel like, considering she's a two-time Olympic champion, I feel like she'd be more inclined to adapt herself and learn than the average person.
Well, we just had on the Contender Series 6 weeks ago, something like that. And I apologize to the lady in question. I've forgotten her name. It's something Fox. Her last name was Fox. And she was an Olympic level boxer. She traveled the world. She'd had something like 70 amateur boxing fights. She'd had a few professional boxing fights. So she came in with, number one, all the confidence, because she certainly talks the talk. She has the right look and all the rest of it, and the boxing experience. Now, she won on the Contender Series and she got a contract. But this lady that she fought, wasn't exactly top of the food chain, shall we say, and gave her a very, very tough fight simply from the wrestling. She got her down on occasion, had her mounted on occasion, but of course every round starts back on the feet. So she was able to scrape a decision, but still, if that tells you anything, it's not a granted, it's not a given just because you're a good boxer. Just like if you're a good MMA fighter, you go over to boxing, it's not guaranteed, far from it, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, I have a question for you guys. So Khamzat versus Leon Edwards, it looks like they're trying to rebook that for January. This kind of takes Khamzat out of the conversation for Fighter of the Year. My question for you guys, if Figueiredo gets the win this weekend, right, defends the title twice in a month, does he take the honors as 2020's Fighter of the Year?
The Fighter of the Year is Chael's iPhone.
Yeah, boy, this thing's winning. This thing's up on me 3-0.
Yeah, he's getting you, buddy. He's getting fighter of the year. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who is there? I mean, there's Israel Adesanya, of course. He's just looked phenomenal. Davison Figueiredo, though, he beat Jose Benavidez earlier in the year. There was a clash of heads and the rematch. I love Jose Benavidez, but, you know, it was a brutal performance for Figueiredo. Then he beats, you know, he had the win a few weeks ago. And now he's back again. That's four fights, four high-level fights, four title fights. All right, he didn't win the title in the first one, but four title fights, four stoppages if he wins this weekend. I don't know. Yeah, I think he's the newest star, newest prospect, whatever they call it, the fastest rising star, and certainly potentially fighter of the year, Chael.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, I don't want to give it to Figueiredo out of hater status. I'm currently a hater on him because he missed weight against Benavidez. I'm still irritated that he missed weight for a title fight, but he is four times up to bat. He gets on base all four times. By the way, captures a world championship, and by the way, becomes a pay-per-view star in a division that they were going to cut 2 years ago. We don't have any option but to give him his due.
Who else is there, Lewis?
I mean,
that's the problem. No one else has been busy because of this pandemic, right? Nobody's been. Even Usman's only got one match, by example. Yeah.
How many times did Khabib fight?
Once.
Just the once.
Once. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess just in terms of pure rise to stardom, because, you know, Davison Figueiredo wasn't like a household name, isn't yet a household name. And to go from being, you know, not being champion to being champion, being as active as he's been, who else is there? I mean, I think that's a big part of it as well. And Chael said something earlier on about it, just sort of like the mentality. It was Tony Ferguson who had to, you know, cut weight twice and change opponents multiple times. There's something that I love about, and look, nobody loves coronavirus times and pandemic times, but there's something so old school and badass about the way mixed martial arts is being run right now, because guys are just, they're getting opponents switched up on them the day of the fight sometimes because people are, you know, testing positive. And these guys are stepping up and they're saying they don't give a fuck. So I think it's obviously a terrible time, but I think overall it's sort of showing you how badass some of these mixed martial artists are. But yeah, I agree. It's got to be Davison.
Yeah, I think he's got to be, because I'm trying to think, to your point, Chael, I mean, who else is there? There's a lot of great fighters. They've only fought once. I was just looking up Jan Blachowicz, two wins this year, and of course, he won the title. But still, four times up, defending the belt, it's got to be him. It's got to be him.
All right, well, that's all I got to guys. If you want to move on to UFC 256.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Tease up on the fight, and then we'll go around the horn and give some predictions.
I apologize. I'm going to just take a quick piss. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
I don't know anything. I'm not going to know anything about the first fight anyway. Let's get real.
We'll start with the prelim headline. Start with Mackenzie Dern and Jan de Roba.
All right, you got it.
Do you got it? Because I don't think you do, because you're not saying anything.
You see? Oh, you want me to just? Okay.
Oh, yeah, just start. Yeah, Lewis will piggyback in when he gets back. We're not waiting for Lewis. Come on. He could be all day. Right.
Well, I'm not sure if there's been bouts moved around here. I'm seeing this third fight down on the list on UFC.com, but I do have...
Oh, really? Okay. My bad.
Yeah. So Mackenzie Dern versus Verna... come on now. It's two UFC black belts. Mackenzie Dern is 5 years younger. She will have... she's an inch taller, but she's at an inch reach disadvantage. Both ladies like to take down a ton...
All right. You don't need to give us all that shit. We've got that, right? You got Chael Pisson, and one of the best analysts in the game. You got me that does, you know, knows a little bit about this as well. You don't need to give us the Luis J. Gomez breakdown because he's a comedian and doesn't know these things. Me and Chael, this is our job. We know this. So just give us the fight, Harrington. Say the fight. The prelim headliner is Cub Swanson versus Daniel Pineda. I'm going to do your job, Harrington. This is how you got to do it. Chael, in the prelim headliner, we got Cub Swanson taking on Daniel Pineda. How do you see that fight going down? Who do you think wins?
I like Cub in that fight. He's going to have to burn some calories. I mean, that's going to be a brawl, in my opinion, for sure. And Pineda's going to do his part. I'm really hearing things, Michael, more than anything that I've seen with my own eyes. I'm hearing things from Cub's training partners, from Juan Archuleta's of the world, from the TJ Dillashaw's of the world, from the Tiki Goshen's who's in the room training with him. I'm just hearing how good Cub's looking, that he's motivated, he's fired up, he came off that knee injury, that he's been a leader in the room, that he's never been more inspired. I believe some of that. So when you get some of that behind the scenes, not promotional stuff, private conversation with guys, tends to be real. I'm leaning towards Cub in a brawl.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Cub Swanson is one of those guys. He's been around forever. And as you said, surrounding himself with that level of talent, you're only going to get better. So he's going to force you, you know, the cream rises to the top, so to speak. And he's, I mean, look at Cub Swanson. Look at the performances he's given us over the years. I'm a business partner with Swan in, Cub Swanson in a UFC gym. So I know the guy. We get together a lot. He's a very, very intelligent guy, very hard worker. And this is his life. So no disrespect to Daniel Pineda. You know, maybe he can cause an upset here, but, you know, I can't go against my guy, Cub Swanson. So, yeah, I got Cub. Harrington. Next fight.
All right. Former.
See how I did that? See how I did that, Harrington? It's easy. It's easy. Yeah. Yes, come on. Sir, let's go.
It. All right. You inspire me. Former champion, Junior Dos Santos, coming off of three straight TKO losses, faces fast-rising French star Cyril Gagne. Chael, how do you see the fight?
Oh, I think they're going to move around a little bit. You probably got a one-round fight in all fairness. You probably got a quick fight. It just, I mean, look, if Junior touches guys, they seem to go down. Junior lately has been getting touched, and he seems to go down. But either way, Cyril's going to come. I love Junior's boxing. I think he's as good of a boxer as the heavyweights have. His chin has been in question a little bit. The other side, as I compliment his boxing, he doesn't have the greatest takedowns. He generally likes to keep a fight standing up, and when he ends up in a fight like this where he might rather be on the ground, I don't know that he has showed the ability to choose where the fight's going to go. I think it's stand-up. I think it's less than 5 minutes, and I think it is surreal.
Yeah, I have to agree, unfortunately. I love Junior Dos Santos, always the biggest fan, and just the way he carries himself, of course, the way he fights, always very, very entertaining. But if you look at his record here, he's lost his last three in a row. Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes, and Rozenstruik, right? No shame in that. Big, big, heavy hitters. But still, once you start getting knocked out, and they were recently, I mean, two in 2020, he just got knocked out in August. You know, it's a quick turnaround from getting knocked out. He got knocked out in January, and then the other one was June 2019. But still, I don't know. Cyril Gagne, if you know anything about him, tremendous kickboxer, massive, massive power. If Dos Santos gets a win here, I'd like to see him, you know, use his wrestling. He has got some good double leg takedowns. He's got good jiu-jitsu, and he might, I think that's the path to victory over Cyril Gagne, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to stand on his feet. They're going to trade. And I think, and I hate to say it, I think Cyril Gagne gets another knockout. Lewis, who you got, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton about Cyril Gagne, but I know he's undefeated, right? And with Junior coming off of, you said, three losses in a row, it's very obvious that they're trying to set Cyril Gagne up, you know, to go on some sort of run. Junior Dos Santos, former heavyweight champion, I mean, that is, you know, as good as it gets in terms of building your resume in the UFC. So I don't want to say, it's not like I don't think the UFC is, you know, hoping for Cyril Gagne, but obviously they're setting him up. So if he beats Junior Dos Santos, he's somebody that everybody's talking about.
Well, it's a win-win, isn't it? Because Cyril Gagne is a guy with, he's a prospect. You know, he's got a bright future. If he beats a guy like Dos Santos, now you've got to be co-main events. You've got to be main events down the line, certainly in France. And if Dos Santos gets another big win, then there you go. Junior Dos Santos is back. I also think for Dos Santos, one thing that he's going to have to overcome in this fight, you know, Chael, you know, you lose three in a row, you know, and you get knocked. I mean, I got knocked out once of Dan Henderson so bad, you know, coming back next time. It was hard. You know, you're gun shy. You got all these questions. Do I still got it? Can I take a punch? He's been knocked out three times in a row. You know, what's that going to do to, you know, his mind, his confidence? You know, is he going to be the same fighter? We don't know. So I think for all those reasons, yeah, I got Cyril winning.
Shameless plug, Mike. I'm literally on this exact moment in your book. You just beat Dennis Kang.
Oh, okay.
In the book, and just talking about the emotions going into the fight, you and Rebecca having that moment, Bisping cries. It's hilarious. You guys got to get
it. All right. Enough of the crying stuff. Please, please, please. We don't talk about that on here. All right, next fight, please.
Michael, where is Dennis Kang these days? What happened? He was a great fighter. I don't even hear of him. Is he coaching?
I have no idea, because he was the man over in Pride and over in Asia. He was winning all kinds of fights. Came to the UFC. I think it was Alan Belcher. He got submitted by Alan Belcher. And then I think I fought him next. And yeah, I have no idea. It's a shame because, I mean, I talk about this all the time. People always say to me, Chael, and sorry, we're going off the tracks here a little bit. Do I want my son to fight? Right? Because he wrestles and he loves wrestling. He's passionate about it. And I'm like, well, wrestling and fighting are two very, very different things. And I don't know how you feel about it, but Dennis Kang is a perfect example. Yeah, I go in gyms and I see guys in there that are world-class, that are fantastic, but they're sleeping in the cars. You know, they can't pay the bills. They can't. And when it comes to fight night, for whatever reason, maybe it's nerves, anxiety, who knows, they can't put it together on fight night and they never get those breaks. And there's Dennis Kang, a guy that did get the breaks, that did have a good career, but still, you know, where is he now? That is the question. So I ask you, Chael, you've got a son, right?
Yep.
Would you like him to fight when he gets older?
I'd like him to know how to fight. I would love to work with him in the living room. I'd love to work with him in the garage. But no, if I don't ever have to go to an arena, buy a ticket, and sit there as my son gets slammed in a cage, man, life would be a lot better for me.
Yeah, great answer. Great answer. Luis, let me ask you real quick because you got a son as well.
Yeah. I mean, you just want your kids to be happy. You want them to do whatever they want. And if the thing that makes my son, like, because my son does jiu-jitsu now and he does Muay Thai now, he's going to be 8 at the end of the month. The sweetest kid, doesn't have an aggressive bone in his body. Just, he looks at it as like almost like fucking dancing and playing. You know, it's not like about hurting somebody. But if he came to me and said, hey, this would truly make me happy, you know, I would be 100% supportive of it. But no, I mean, knowing I watch you fight, you know, and, you know, it's a different thing when you know somebody that goes in there and you fucking care about them, they're your friend. I can imagine the type of fear that I would have for my son if he was going and competing on a really high level against absolute killers. I mean, we don't see it often, serious injury or death, but that's a very real possibility every time you get in there. And nobody, I mean, it's our job as parents to protect our kids from that sort of harm. So yeah, that wouldn't be my wish for him.
Yeah, I don't think any fighter or anybody would wish that. And I always say, there's a saying, I fought so my children don't have to. I'm sure you feel the same way, Chael. You know, You got to have a certain background. My white kids have grown up in Southern California with a swimming pool, for crying out loud. Do you know what I mean? He hasn't got the same fire. He didn't have a mom beating him up with a rolling pin and kicking his ass and fucking whatever my dad did to me. He hasn't had those things. Anyway, next fight, Harrington, what we got?
All right, next fight up is another potential fight of the year candidate, fighter of the year candidate. Kevin Holland has a shot to go 5-0 in 2020 this year. He faces Jack Ray, who's coming off back-to-back losses. If you remember, it was supposed to be Vettori versus Souza, and then Holland was supposed to fight Hermanson last weekend. They got swapped. So this is a new fight for both guys on about 2 weeks' notice.
You got to throw it to someone. There's Mike. Three people. We're looking at you. We're waiting on you. Who are you going to feed it to? Who gets to go first? It's a big deal for all of us. And you just leave us all hanging.
As the former king of the 185-pound division, Mike, why don't you go first?
Okay, well, thank you very much. But we do have guests. Okay, I think for Kevin Holland, sorry, bud. For Kevin Holland, this is a big opportunity. Of course, he's had, what, four wins so far this year, but none of them have been a ranked opponent. You know, he's looked sensational, he's looked fantastic, but now there's definitely a step up in competition. Now, Jack Array, he's not the Jack Array that we maybe saw a few years ago, but he's still a very, very formidable opponent. And, you know, we were talking on the last show, Lewis, when you look at the middleweight division a few years ago, you had Rockhold, you had Weidman in his prime, you had Jack Array, Gegard Mousasi, Machida. It was a very, very difficult division. Now you don't really... It's not quite as stacked as what it used to be, but still Jack Array is going to be a very, very tough fight. You know, he's an old school guy. He's got old school skills. He's got big power, excellent jiu-jitsu. I don't know, but Kevin Holland's very tall, very fast, very young, very, very confident. I don't know. I'm sitting on the fence here. Chael, take over. Who have you got in this fight and why?
First time ever I've picked against Jack Array, but I am picking against him. And guys, I'll tell you, I don't love his strategy anymore. He used to have a very clear strategy. Here's plan A. I am going to take you down. I will default to plan B if I fail at plan A. Now, he's become very good on his feet. But one thing that happens when you become pretty good on your feet, you get confident there. That confidence can hurt you, Michael. That fear and that urgency to get a guy into your best position generally serves an athlete. I don't feel like he has that anymore, and I feel like he's going to make the wrong choice with Holland, and he's going to get beat because of it. I think he's catching Holland at the wrong time as well. I'm picking against Jacques Gray, first time ever.
Yeah, that's actually a really smart pick. Allow me to piggyback there. 1 second, Lewis, because I never gave a pick.
Please.
Never gave a pick. You can see it either way, right? Jack Ray goes in, out-grapples him, exposes him in that regard. Kevin Holland is a young fighter, still learning on the job, so to speak, you know, and Jack Ray goes out there, exploits a weakness and gets a win. But as you said, if he stays on the feet, I'm not sure what his reach is, but Kevin Holland's got something like an 84-inch reach. It's a phenomenal reach. He's very fast, very explosive. So it all depends on the game plan, but fuck it, you need a peak, part of my language. Yeah. I'll say Kevin Holland as well. There you go, Chael. Lewis, what do you got? Don't piggyback on Chael's pick.
I'm not piggybacking. I'm going to disagree with both of you guys. Kevin Holland's got five losses, two of which has come by way of submission. I think Jacare, he has fought every name possibly that you could fight in the sport. You know, Kevin Holland, he hasn't fought anywhere near the competition. I think Jacare is going to show that experience is going to be a big differentiator here, and I see him winning this fight.
Okay. All right. Solid choice. And I like your reasoning. I do.
Doubles,
you
know, avocado.
Can't argue with it.
All right. Two top level Brazilian black belt grapplers in the women's strawweight division face off.
Jeez, don't be nervous. He never does this, Chael. I'm serious. He's nervous in front of you.
Harrington, Chael's just like me and you. He's a normal guy. Relax.
Yeah. Just imagine him, just a regular guy.
Okay. Verna Jandaroba versus Mackenzie Dern. I'm trying, man. Who do you guys think? I'm sorry, Chael. Who do you think wins this fight?
Okay. I like Dern. I mean, I like Dern just because she appears to be a good competitor who enjoys what she's doing. I realize that's a lazy analysis, but at some point in the sport, people get tired of doing it. She looks like she's still fresh. She looks like she's still getting better. I think she is going to be nullified in some way. She's also always had a very grappling heavy advantage. She's not going to have that advantage here. She at least not heavy. I think it's going to be close, but I think she's a good competitor. She's going to have to show us a little something. She's going to have to dig deep. She's going to have to show some grit. It's going to come to that third round. I'm taking Dern.
Yeah.
I just don't know enough about Jandaroba to really be able to give too much of a pick. I'm going to go with my gut here, and she's got a little bit more experience. She's also undefeated. Dern doesn't have, or she also only has one loss. Dern's not going to have the grappling advantage, and I know Dern's been working a lot under striking lately, but I have a feeling that Mackenzie is going to run into some bad luck here and there, and I'm going to just pick against her on this one for no reason except I'm just picking. Yeah.
All right. Jandaroba, very good jiu-jitsu. If I'm not mistaken, I think all of her wins have come by way of submission. So, you know, that leads you to think that's going to give Mackenzie Dern a little bit of problem down there. Now, I still think Mackenzie Dern has the advantage on the ground, but still mixed martial arts, you know, if you know how to close down the submission threat. All right, whatever. I still think Mackenzie Dern has the advantage there. Now, on the feet, Mackenzie Dern, to your point, Chael, you know, she's training with Jason Perillo now. I see you in the gym down there. Works very, very hard. She's sparring guys. Saw sparring Luke Rockhold recently. I mean, good for her. Say what you will about Luke Rockhold, picking off easy prey there. You know what I mean? And that's what he's doing these days. He's getting knocked out by people. Now he's sparring girls. But still, that's going to be a headline tomorrow. No, she's working hard. To your point, she's working very, very hard. And she's a real fighter. She's got that fighter's mentality. She's not afraid to throw down, to swing in the pocket, to plant her feet and just swing. And then when you combine that with the jiu-jitsu, you know, and the only loss was to Amanda Ribas. Amanda Ribas is a potential champion. In fact, a champion in waiting, I would say. So, yeah, I got Mackenzie Dern all day. Submission, round three, specific.
All right. The one I think a lot of people are waiting for, Charles Oliveira, the new dark horse of the division. He's on a 7-fight win streak, longest in the division outside of anybody not named Khabib. He's fighting Tony Ferguson. Charles Oliveira is 5 years younger, but he has 7 more pro fights than Tony Ferguson. Ferguson has a 2-inch reach advantage, 1-inch height advantage. Lewis, who do you like?
Hold on. Let me just say something to everybody. Before you make this pick, you got to realize Tony Ferguson's a crazy guy, and he will come at you. He will have a go. He will go for you on social media. I have been on the end of this wrath. So just bear that into your equation, gentlemen, before you make your picks. But Lewis, go ahead.
I mean, this is a hard one to pick. I mean, I would typically pick with Tony. I would typically go with Tony. I almost would never pick against Tony, but Chael made some really interesting points about Tony being a slow starter and this being a 3-round fight. And who am I to disagree with the great Chael Sonnen? So I'm actually going to pick Charles Oliveira, and if Tony Ferguson has to come at me, he's got to come at me. I'm not afraid of no man.
Chael?
All right, I'm going with Tony Ferguson, but I tell you guys, I have a lot of questions here, and I have some big problems with him. One of them that we haven't discussed yet is he's got a whole new team around him. He has yet to disclose to us who that team is. He's only said in media that he got rid of his entire crew. We don't know who he brought in. It looked like he had some buddies around him. I don't know if those buddies and pals are the cornermen or if they're – but they were around him, and I'm having to make these conclusions. And when you have a top fighter in the world, and I can't even tell you – who his coaches and trainers are, sometimes that's very problematic. But if he does start fast, if what we did see against Gaethje was just a guy that was tired, but now he's a guy that's invigorated, he wants that championship back, he's hungry, and let's say that this team is the right choice. I'm expecting something good to happen for Tony, but it's a lot of ifs. In all fairness, I think he's got the deck stacked against him. I'm taking Tony, but he's up against it, fellas.
Yeah, I totally agree. As we said before, stylistically, I think it's a nightmare of a matchup for Tony Ferguson. Kind of plays into the hands of Oliveira. Not disrespecting Tony's jiu-jitsu, you know, that's world-class, as is Oliveira's. But Oliveira just has a knack of just snatching that submission. He doesn't set them up. He doesn't take his time. He just finds a way of just getting it and just clamping that submission on hard and fast. I think it's 7 or 8 submissions in a row, which is a UFC record. He's got excellent tie clinch, excellent knees, excellent elbows, always comes in great shape. Of course, riding high on momentum as well with, I think it's 8 wins in a row. You know, that gives you a lot of confidence. Tony Ferguson, though, even though he got beat in his last fight, he's the type of guy that isn't going to allow him to be fazed by that. That's not going to affect his confidence. He knows what he brings to the table. He knows how tough he is. So this is a very, very tough fight to pick. I'm going to say Oliveira. I love Tony. I'm a good friend of his. He texts me now and again here and there. So I was going to do that whole thing. I was going to pick him because of that. Right. I was. And I do that on occasion. It's hard, right, Jail? But I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to be honest. I think Oliveira might I was going to say, I think Oliveira might submit him. But just saying that out loud doesn't sound correct. So no, screw that. Tony Ferguson.
All right.
That's the fun. Somersaults that go on in my mind every day.
Fair enough.
Just trying to make a coffee. I'm like, coffee, tea, 2 sweeteners, 1 sugar. What am I doing here? You should have seen me try to set this fucking computer up before, Chael. We tried to do new cameras. It was a nightmare.
Well, to your point, great. Hold it off.
Yeah.
To your point, Jail, on Embedded earlier this week, when Ferguson was asked who his coach was, he simply pointed his thumb at himself. So it seems like he's the head guy for this camp. All right. So the main event,
which, by the way, is never good. Sorry, Harrington. As you know, Jail, you don't want to be that guy. You need someone there. See, that's what I was doing for many years. And then Perillo, you know, took the helm, shall we say. Okay, only a boxer, but still, he was delegating what I should do, what coaches should come into play. You know what I'm saying, Chael? Anytime you're the head honcho in your own camp, it's never good.
Never good.
All right. Well, Moreno versus Figueiredo. Moreno is the younger man. Both men coming off about 1 month fighting at the last pay-per-view. Now, Figueiredo tries to be the first guy to defend his title twice in a month. Chael P. Sonnen, do you think he gets it done?
No, I like Figueiredo. Look, here's the thing with this. The one thing that I took away from his last fight, and even though that was over in the first round, if you look a little closer, he dealt with a little adversity there. He got put down. He got swarmed. He found a way to recovery, found a way to then find that submission and turn the tide. And for a young champion or even a young fighter, and he's both, a lot of times you don't see that adversity. You don't see that toughness or the grit or how bad do you want it. We knew he had the skills, but does he have that dog in him? And even if it was a brief moment, the moment still happened. He passed the test. I'm taking Figueiredo by finish.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree 100%. I think Deiveson Figueiredo is something special. You know, he's got the full package. You know, he's got excellent jiu-jitsu and hits, you know, like a truck. I mean, if you look at the size of the hands on the little guy, you know, he's got gigantic hands, massive, massive firepower in both hands. And that last fight, you're right, he did have a little bit of adversity, but he was so cool, calm, and collected. He's just like, I've been here a million times. The other guy, what was it, Royval? Who did he fight last? Who did he fight last?
Perez.
Perez. Perez, this was his big title fight, right? He's walking up and down, he's all jacked, he's doing all those types of things, you know, because it's a huge moment. Figueiredo, he barely got his heart rate up. You know, he was just nice, chill, calm, collected, just another day at the office. And then when the opportunity was there, he took the submission. So no disrespect to his opponent this weekend. He's a great fighter. He's got a lot of upside in his career. He's still very, very young. Deiveson Figueiredo, I think I have a knockout or submission, but I think it's going to be a finish either way. Lewis.
I stop going last after 2 fucking legendary mixed martial artists. Please. You have me try to. Yeah, this guy. Yeah. Figueredo. Fuck you.
No. That's Harrington's fault.
Let me go first every time. So I give a little quip. I make a joke. Then you guys give your speeches. And then I got to come in at the last fight of the fucking night. I'm giving an analysis.
Sis, an analysis.
I literally couldn't say the word analysis. That's how bad I am at speaking.
I blame Harrington. He should know this, you know?
Psychotic. It's fucking crazy.
Oh, dear. No, but seriously, though, what's your pick?
Davison. Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, he's flying so high, dude. I think his last three or four fights he finished in the first round or first or second round. Yeah, he's a killer, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and also when somebody has a little bit of adversity in a fight and stays calm, cool, and collected, I think that just shows it's more insightful as to how prepared they are. And if a guy's just starching everybody every single time and doesn't deal with anything, you know.
So that's the fights. Chael, what's going on in your world then? What do you want to you got a few more minutes before we let you go? What's a big topic in your world right now?
Man, I don't have anything. I'm looking forward to this show. I really am. There's a Bellator going on tonight. I've got a teammate, Ronnie Marks, is going to fight with Linton Vassell. So that's kind of my evening. I'm stuck in the quarantine, so I'm going to turn that on. And then I'm going to see if there's any drama tomorrow at the weigh-ins. Don't forget, Tony Ferguson came out with an interesting statement. He said, I'll take this fight, but he can't be more than 3 pounds over. Now, Michael, the reason I thought that was interesting, if he would have said if he misses weight, the whole deal's up. No, he said he could miss weight. He could even miss it by a couple pounds, but he can't miss it more than 3 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of the 3 pounds, but if anything has beaten Oliveira in the last couple of years, it's been the scale. That could happen.
Yes, and I think what Tony's saying is because we've seen a lot of the time when somebody misses weight and they go on to fight, they win because having the extra weight is an advantage. Not killing yourself in the sauna, you know, provides you an extra little bit of conditioning as the fight progresses. So I think that's his logic there. But that is... It's a good quote from Tony Ferguson. The real question is, will he stick to that though? You know, because Tony Ferguson, I can't see him pulling out. I really can't. Of course, he's going to say that because you want your opponent to make way. But I don't know. We'll see. So it sounds like you're a busy man though, Chael. In retirement, life is good. You're working at ESPN. Are you at the beautiful Residence Inn or the Courtyard Marriott? Which one are you at right now?
I'm at the Residence Inn, but we actually went to the Marriott this morning. That's where the COVID test was. Then you drive right back and you kind of just swear yourself to confine the room. I'm thinking about checking out a show tonight that came heavily recommended.
Oh, really?
It's called The Boys. But I've
been
by a lot of
The Jersey Boy? No. The Thunder from Down Under Boys?
Just the straight up Boys. No Z, B-O-Y-S, not B-O-Y-Z. B-O-Y, and I hear it's great, and I got my iPad with me. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah,
because sorry, Lewis.
Sorry, you watched that, right? It's on Amazon Prime, the superhero show, Bisping.
Oh, yeah. No, The Boys is fantastic. Yeah, because I'm driving into Vegas tomorrow night with my wife. We're going to do a test, and then we're going to quarantine because we're going to come to the fights. We're going to go check that out. I'm doing something for the UFC Sunday morning. Seeing as we're in Vegas, might as well go check the fights out. So we've got to do tests so we can get into the building. And we were wondering about shows. I wasn't sure if they were still open. So there you go, The Boys. All right. We'll check it out. Well, listen, Chael, thank you for joining us, my friend. I think that's the end of the show. That was awesome. As always, we appreciate your time, and we thank you for joining us. One more time, do you want to give a plug? Submission Underground this weekend. How do people watch that?
December 20th, UFC Fight Pass. By the way, Luis, certainly you understood that I was saying this was on Amazon Prime. I'm going to watch it on my TV in quarantine. You'll explain to Bisping that The Boys is not a show he can take his wife to, right? Like, yes, you'll explain.
Oh, shit. Right. Hold on. You're talking about the
zoning out and not listening to me. But you'll fill him in.
I'm going to give him a step-by-step analysis of each episode.
Stop. So you're saying you're going to watch The Boys.
Amazon Prime. I'm stuck through it. Watch it on my iPad, which I did mention to you. I mean, I must say, you totally zoned me out there, Count.
No. I've seen The Boys. It's a great show. It's fantastic.
We discussed The Boys, and I was wondering why he didn't say, oh, yeah, I love it, because we've discussed the Boys at length on the show.
I thought... You were saying, I'm going to go watch a show tonight called The Boys. And I'm like, oh, shows are open.
From my bedroom.
You're in Vegas. Shows, Vegas. I put two and two together. I got five, whatever. I've been hit in the head a lot. All right, that's our show. Lewis, Jay Gomez, thank you as always. Chael, peace on, and you are the man. Good luck this weekend. Where do people watch Submission Underground?
UFC Fight Pass, December 20th, RDA versus Cowboy, Rumble versus Johnson, and in the main event, Mason Fowler versus Ishii. Thanks, fellas.
Awesome. All right, Chael, you're the man.
Boom. Thanks.
Chael, thank you.
That's it. Awesome.
That's it. Great show.
Yeah, no, that was nice to Chael, because I just thought when he was on there, I thought, hold on a minute, let's just keep him on and go through the fights and have predictions.
Yeah, we did
everything.
That last time. We kept him on like an hour.
Yeah, he's great. He's such a great personality.
People like him, Till, we can do that with Till next time he's on. Like, if he has the time.
You should start doing this more.
Yeah, I agree. It's awesome. I like doing, especially people who are really good and we have a good dynamic, so we know. So I think maybe the first time we have somebody on, you do a 15-minute interview, 20-minute interview. But if they're great and they can sit on the whole show and fucking talk shit, it was so smooth.
Yeah, no, it really was. All right, well, that's the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Monday with new cameras. Plugs.
Oh, wait, we're still on the show.
We're still doing the show. We're still rolling.
I thought that was a behind-the-scenes conversation. The fans just got me behind the scenes.
Well, thank God you didn't say anything that shouldn't be out there to the general hemisphere. But no, so, you know, we signed off on Chael, and I just thought I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We will be back Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fights. Lewis, anything to sign off on?
Yeah, just iTunes, subscribe, YouTube, subscribe, Gas Digital, the entire on-demand library. Use that promo code BYM. Beyond that, we appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Monday. Peace.